It's news to us. We're live on AW Radio the week of October 26, 2020. Our guest is Shannon Freshour, running for Congress in Ohio's 4th District. She's going to defeat Jim Jordan, damn it, in Ohio.
Woo-hoo!
Yep. Yeah. Hey, it's Eddie here. Katie and Jason.
Yeah.
There they are.
Hello.
And Chris. Chris is here.
Hey.
There's also a COVID outbreak happening with the vice president and his staff. But he continues to walk around and act like nothing's happening there in Washington. What the hell's going on with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just his staff. It's like his chief of staff and like his main like aide that's with him 24/7.
Right?
Yeah, staff infection.
Yeah. And then what happens to, we were trying to get to this yesterday, but last show, we ran out of time. What is going to happen to DJT when he loses the election? There's going to be like an avalanche of lawsuits coming his way. So we'll tell you about that and more. It's news to us.
It's news to us with Eddie, Jason, and Katie.
All right, let's see what's going on socials real quick. It's news to us on Twitter. We tweeted this amazing poll going into the election. What issue are you most concerned with? The economy, social issues, COVID, or student loans? And no surprise, COVID-19, the number one thing that people are concerned with at 70%, followed by social issues at 17%, the economy at 11%. What are you guys most concerned with? As we approach election day, which is coming up in days.
You know, my issue is even one of the topics to pick from. My thing that's really keeping me up at night is climate change.
Ah, that should have been on there.
That would probably be a close number two for me.
What's number one for you?
The COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want my freaking life back.
I know.
I want to see my friends.
I want to be able to, I want to make it so I have to come up with excuses to get out of social situations again.
Dude, I want to hug my grandpa.
Yeah, I know. It's really ridiculous. I can't believe that we're all still quarantined. We haven't even done a show in the same space since March. That's just insane. It's already almost November.
China has only had like a couple thousand cases since the outbreak in Wuhan.
China virus, as Trump
calls it. We're the only country that's going through it like this. Like, other countries have like mitigated it to the point where they could somewhat have their lives back, and then they just have to squash it when there's big outbreaks. We're the only country that's like going through it full speed ahead. Yeah. Like,
and we're all
angry.
And that leads us to the first in our news roundup, COVID outbreak around the vice president.
It's news to us. News roundup. Yeehaw!
So several aides to Mike Pence, vice president, including his chief of staff, his body man, have tested positive for COVID-19 in recent days. His body man? Who? What's a body man? You mean like, do they mean his bodyguard?
His personal assistant.
They call it a body man?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Washington thing. I don't know.
Oh, okay, got it.
Jason, you heard that on the West Wing, right?
Jason had to step away for one second.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mic it up. Whatever he's doing, mic it up.
I can't. It's a work thing.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's not pooping, he's working.
We like to stay on top of breaking news, so all right. So when Mike Pence had the VP debate with Kamala Harris, a lot of people were pointing out that he had a pink eye. Did you guys see that? And apparently that is a symptom of COVID.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe this guy already had it, or he has it right now, and we're not being told. There's no way that everybody around Mike Pence is getting COVID, and he is not. No way.
Well, yeah, especially like his personal assistant who's with him like every waking hour of his life.
Right.
Which makes me wonder if this is why everybody around him has it now.
Because of him?
Yeah.
That's because possible.
They've said, they said that they've tested him and Karen. Karen is his wife's name, right? Yeah.
Mother. Mother's wife's name.
Mother. Thanks. They've tested him and mother for the last 2 days or 3 days even. And they've both come up negative. But I mean, but like, also, do you believe, like, can we believe them? I don't know.
No, no, we can't. And I also find it exactly. very ironic that the head of the COVID task force, like his whole staff is getting COVID. So,
yeah. What an ass.
Yeah, he's not following the own the guidelines coming from the CDC, obviously. And why isn't anybody in Washington working remotely, by the way? Everybody else has been forced to work remotely who can, but those a-holes still show up.
Well, and just the fact that he has been in contact with people who have COVID, and we all know he's been in contact with people who have COVID, he should be quarantining, but he's out doing rallies with thousands of people every day now instead, and he's not going to stop.
You know, something I was thinking about something a couple days ago, a year ago, I bet 99.99% of the people in this country, if you ask them, if they sneezed or coughed, they would tell you that a person should cover their mouth. Like, it only became political since Trump was made it political. Like, they're rejecting things they already know to be true.
Just to own the libs, and it's like they're sacrificing their own lives and the lives of their loved ones to own the libs.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I have some breaking news right now.
Oh, okay, breaking news. What's our breaking
news? Amy Coney Barrett was just confirmed to the Supreme Court by the GOP-controlled Senate, becoming President Trump's third successful high court nomination.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Anyways,
And actually, here is Mitch McConnell from just moments ago, Senate Majority Leader.
What this is?
Oh, hang on a second. I have to switch an audio setting real quick. But he was just talking about this on the floor a second ago.
And what this administration and this Republican Senate has done is exercise the power that was given to us by the American people in a manner that is entirely within the rules of the Senate and the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, screw him.
Yeah.
He looks like death these days anyway.
He's literally decaying in front of us.
Yeah, literally.
But not a shocker that that this justice was just jammed through. Meanwhile, all of America could use some COVID relief, but Mitch McConnell and the Republicans aren't willing to entertain that because they were trying to ram this justice through just before the election, just in case she might come in handy if the Supreme Court has to settle some sort of a dispute on that near election day, like they had to with Gore Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going on there. Or are we just being alarmist liberals?
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
No.
Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Cases rising everywhere.
We're going to have to dig into that a little bit more maybe next week or something. Next in our news roundup, at least here's a little bit of good news. People are voting in record numbers. That's good.
It's news to us. News roundup. Yeehaw!
62 million voters have cast ballots early. That surpasses the total number in 2016. By this time, by more than 12 million, according to NBC News. That's good.
Yeah.
So do you guys,
huge number.
You guys think that it's going to peter out on election day? And just because everybody's voting early this year, it's a weird year? Or are we going to see a record turnout?
I feel like we're going full speed ahead here, and it's going to be record turnout through election day.
People are voting with a lot of anger and passion on both sides. Like, people are casting these ballots, and like practically tearing holes in their little boxes that they're circling. I know when I was filling in, you know, Biden, like,
Biden, damn it. Eddie and Looper, damn it.
Eddie needs to be gentle on boxes. Those boxes are delicate.
All right. I should be a little more delicate there. But yeah, it's that's good news. People are voting. So, and of course, it's coming down to a few states. The ones to keep our eyes on. Actually, Texas is a lot closer than people thought. So that's one to keep an eye on. Were you gonna say something, Katie?
I think the good news about this is that a lot of states are gonna start tallying their votes ahead of time, and so maybe we won't end up with the huge election day debacle that we all thought we were going to end up with. But there are a few key states that it's against their laws to count votes before election day. So that could end up being a shit show. But I mean, I think for the most part, I mean, like states like Colorado, in Texas, I'm pretty sure, you know, states like where we're getting big numbers and they're counting votes already. Like as they come in, those votes are being counted. Yeah. So that's a good sign.
Right. And a reminder that we will be here live on election night, covering the action live with tears of joy or just tears of sadness. There will be tears. Join us.
If I cry on air, I apologize, whether it's for happiness or sadness. But
yeah, we go live beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right? Or maybe early. I don't know. What time do we go on? Something like that. Just tune in right here.
I don't know. You're the boss.
Adobe Radio. Okay, we're going to go live beginning at 6 a.m. and we're just going to go all day.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Texas?
Yeah.
Texas already has 7 million votes.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, yeah.
What do you think about Colorado losing its swing state status?
I think it's good.
And just going straight blue?
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm down with that. That's cool with me.
I think we're all a bunch of stoners now anyways. So
it's actually surprising me that it didn't happen a little bit sooner, but we saw that this was the trend in Colorado because of the things, the laws that were being passed locally and how things have been swaying here. So
yeah, you know. I mean, you know, what's really been chapping my ass is that like right down the street every weekend, there is a group of Trump humpers that stands out on the corner and hands out their handmade Trump signs and like it has a whole bunch of giant Trump like propaganda hanging up, and people drive by and honk and like get all rowdy, and I'm like in Trump country over here. It's scary. There's Trump signs everywhere.
Yeah, I think that's a mixed bag where I live. There's I see a lot of Biden, but I also do see some, I've seen a couple Trump, and I know that my next door neighbors are definitely Trump supporters.
See, the only Biden signs I've seen in my area are the ones I hang up on the highway.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you are in a red area. But speaking of the election, what is going to happen to Donald Trump if he loses? This is why he is fighting so hard to win this election. Because he has just an avalanche of bad things that's coming his way. We'll tell you about that in just a second. But real quick, our sponsor, Fundrise. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked into a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see a diversified set of real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, it hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. They make it easy for all investors to diversify by building you a portfolio of institutional quality real estate investments. Whether you're looking to add stable cash flow via dividends or prefer long-term growth through appreciation, Fundrise has you covered. So get started. It's easy to use. You can go on their website and track your portfolio's performance. and watch as properties across the country are acquired, improved, and operated via asset updates. So start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/news to us, and you can have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/news to us. FUNDRISE.com. That's FUNDRISE.com/news to us. Have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/news to us. Thank you, Fundrise. All right, News Roundup continues.
It's news to us. News Roundup.
So DJT did say that he would leave the country if he loses the election, and here he is saying that at a rally recently.
I'm not going to feel so good. Maybe I'll have to leave the country. I don't know.
But I feel like he might actually leave the country if he loses. Because there's
Of COVID, no one will let him in.
Yeah, you're right. Also,
I don't know. I think that like MBS or Putin, somebody might take him.
I don't know. Is he still useful to Putin?
I don't know. I mean, they might have some use for him, or they might just off him. Who knows?
I don't know.
Oh my God!
If a former president flees the country, though, isn't he considered a national, like a huge national security risk? Because somebody could the ISIS could kidnap him and then get a bunch of secrets out of him. Although he's so dumb, he never read any briefings, but.
The thing is, this president's already going to be considered a huge national security risk when he's out of office, because he already is known to give away information to these foreign adversaries without them even trying to really get it from him.
For example, his Twitter password, it was revealed yesterday. Did you guys see this? A hacker got into his Twitter. His password was MAGA2020!
Shut up. Is that really what it was?
Yeah, that was a real story that came out.
Oh my God. But you know, like he gave away information to the ambassador from Russia. Wasn't that when he first got into office?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like one of the first developments around the original Russia scandal.
Yeah, and he's been known to give away information without trying, and he knows things that we probably don't want someone like Donald Trump knowing.
Well, if he loses, he's now open to a lot of legal scrutiny. What are some of these things, Katie? Because when we were looking at this last week, we didn't have time for it. I had no idea that he has this many lawsuits. Like it fills up like two pages on our prep here.
Well, yeah,
we can't even get to all of this.
But then when you put them all together, it's a lot.
Maybe we can go through a couple of them here because we don't have time. This guy has so many lawsuits that it would take up a full hour for us to just list them off.
We'll just give
that's
it a
that's totally a normal
brief skim here.
How many lawsuits do you guys have against you personally, by the way?
Oh, at least 17.
Yeah, I have 22.
That's average. Yeah.
He faces defamation lawsuits from accusations made by E. Jean Carroll. Some have suggested a formal, he also has a subpoena to his accounting firm for 8 years of tax returns and financial records.
That's one of the biggest ones, right?
Yeah, have ruled that the subpoena is valid, but he keeps throwing it back through the courts to make sure that it doesn't get, he keeps pushing it back down to lower courts as it goes back up.
Yeah,
investigators are looking into tax breaks taken by Trump Seven Springs property in Bedford, New York, and the Trump National Golf Club in Los Angeles.
There's a theme here of tax fraud. I thought if you commit tax fraud, you're immediately thrown in jail. But I guess if you're like a middle class person or poor, that's when they get you, not when you're rich.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think a lot of this is stemming from Michael Cohen's testimony before he was locked up, where he testified that Trump always, you know, said his properties were worth more than they really were. And then for tax purposes, he would, say that they were worth less. So he kind of cooked the books, if you will, on his financial background and what he had going. So I think that's where the tax fraud is coming into play there.
And the reason why
they're also investigating the valuation of Trump office tower on Wall Street in the forgiveness of more than $100 million loan on the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago.
A lot of fraud. And the reason why he needs to stay in office is because you can't prosecute a sitting president according to an unofficial memo in the Department of Justice.
Literally just a memo.
Yeah. So he's
literally just a memo.
He's fighting to stay. This is why we have the voter suppression. This is why he's saying that mail-in ballots are all fraud. He's trying to set it up so that he can contest a victory by Joe Biden, no matter what the margin. There's no way he's going to concede on election night. No way. Yeah. Look at all this stuff that's facing him.
What he's trying to do, in my opinion, is, you know, if he wins another 4 years, a lot of the statute of limitations on these cases, you know, they expire and he can't be charged for anything. So he's trying to run the clock out.
He's trying to cover his own ass.
I've also read, though, that because of that memo, that a lot of prosecutors could argue that the statute of limitations doesn't start until he gets out of office.
Well, I think that would go to the Supreme Court, and I don't know how that would go.
Yeah, and now, because he's stacked the Supreme Court, yeah, how would that roll?
And I'm so sick of people saying, Biden's going to pack the court.
Yeah, fuck you.
Republicans pack the court.
Yeah,
like, they packed it. They did it. Like, stop saying Biden's going to do it. It's already been done. Right. I just want to get that out of the way.
So then there's another case, another defamation lawsuit from Summer Zervos, who claims Trump sexually assaulted her in 2007. And his niece, Mary Trump, is also suing him because when she was a teenager and her dad had passed away when she was just a kid, but when her grandfather passed away, Trump and her Aunt Mary were in charge of their estate. And they basically hired lawyers that weren't going to work in the interest of Mary and her brother and ripped them off for millions of dollars. And Mary didn't figure this out until recently when she handed boxes of documents from the lawyers over to the New York Times, and they figured it out just like a couple months ago.
Wow. Yeah. And that's just that's like the tip of the iceberg. Sorry. You probably tell us about one more and we're out of time on this because we have to get to our guest Shannon's Fresh Hour.
Justice with Mueller, which is the big one that we all know about.
And he's individual number one.
Yeah. Right. Individual number one.
Yeah. Let's not forget that his personal attorney went to jail for doing things that Trump told him to do. And by extension, that makes Trump guilty.
I mean, there's a whole bunch more. Like, that's just like the tip of the iceberg.
If he wasn't president, he would have been charged in the same case as Michael Cohen.
Absolutely.
So he's just facing a shitstorm. This is why he really needs to stay in office. So he's not trying to stay in office to better the country. He's not trying to get rid of COVID, do a good job for anybody. He's not trying to make America great again. He's just trying to save his own ass. Doesn't give a shit about you or me.
Top it off with these broke as well.
We also $1 billion in debt. That's We'll talk to our guest next as our election coverage continues. Shannon Fresh Hour running for Congress in Ohio's 4th district to defeat Jim Jordan, and she'll be joining us next live. Don't go anywhere.
Vote or die. It's news to us. Election 2020 coverage continues.
And our election coverage continues here. It's news to us on Adobe Radio. We are about a week away from the big day. And one of the biggest one of the biggest races that everybody has had their eyes on is this one right here. Running for Congress in Ohio's 4th District is Shannon Freshour. She's trying to defeat Jim Jordan. Everybody loves that guy. And she's actually the first Democrat challenging Jordan to raise over $1 million. So congratulations on that, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. So this is a really heated race that you're in. And we're going to talk about it and the issues and stuff, but do you mind if we try to get to know you a little bit on a personal level?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what are you currently binge watching?
I binge watch a lot of news. I have Direct TV, and they have this channel called The News Mix, and it has Fox, MSNBC, CNN, and either the Weather Channel or BBC World News on 4 boxes on the same screen, and you can choose the audio. I basically binge watch that all day.
Well, if you had to share an Uber with either Scott Pelley or Lester Holt, who would you want to share that Uber with?
I don't know. A question I never thought of, but I will say...
It's a horrible question.
Lester Holt.
Okay. It's a very consequential question. In fact, the whole race is hinging on it, so thank you for answering.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Either butter pecan or some sort of like sorbet vanilla mix.
Ooh, butter pecan, that's good. I think I like cookies and cream probably, but butter pecan's got to be up there.
Yeah,
That's a classy ice cream.
It is a classy ice cream. That's
very classy.
It says a lot about you and how classy you are.
Thank you.
Have you ever been bitten by an animal that wasn't yours?
I have actually. I was 10. I was riding in a like charity bike ride, one of those like school bike ride things. And a dog got loose in a yard and came up and bit the side of my thigh. I did finish the race though.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, well.
That's cool. I mean,
good work.
Yeah, good for you. Did you get stitches?
No, I don't. No, did I? Maybe I got a couple. I've gotten stitches a lot. I'm kind of clumsy. So like there's like scars all over.
Did you have to get a rabies booster? Or well, I'm not a booster for you, but a rabies shot?
No, I didn't, because they knew who the owner was, and the owner could prove that he had had his rabies shot.
Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And finally, do you agree with this statement? Should shoes come with a Velcro instead of laces?
It depends on the shoe. Any kids' shoes should come with Velcro just to make everyone's life easier.
Kids' shoes, yes. But what about adults? I mean, why do kids get the Velcro and we get screwed with having to tie our shoes?
That's a good question. I shall not ponder this. This is what I'm going to be focused on at like 4 a.m. I'm going to wake up and have like an epiphany about the fact that now I support Velcro for all shoes.
I think once you're in office, this needs to be the first thing that you tackle.
Your first bill.
I will get right on that after I deal with constituent services.
Maybe global warming first. I don't know. COVID. There's a few other things. But then Velcro.
Exactly.
Well, okay, cool. Well, how are you feeling? So today is a big day. I don't know. It's kind of negative to a lot of people who are on the left, with Amy Coney Barrett being confirmed just actually like minutes ago.
They just had the vote, and then they're about to swear her in, I guess.
How do you feel about the situation in general?
I think that, the Republicans should have honored their own precedent that they set, that if you don't, that we don't do confirmations that close to elections. I mean, it's 8 days out. 67 million people have already voted. And many of the senators who voted yes aren't going to have jobs come Wednesday or come Thursday. So, I mean, to hold, to do this, and I get that's why they did it, because it's a tacit admission from McConnell and the Senate Republicans that they are going to lose the Senate, that they don't have enough faith in the electorate to actually hold it after the election. And that's really how I view it. I mean, it's basically an absolute admission that the Senate's going to flip.
So what do we do from here? Do you think we should add to the Supreme Court?
And I think that this is where I come in. I don't think it should be a reactionary, like tit for tat thing, but I do, I mean, I had said before Biden came out and said it, that I don't believe that, you know, necessarily nine people can really sort of accurately assess the needs of a 330 million other people. So I wanted to look at it in a bipartisan fashion. And then I was really happy that that was what Biden came out with as well, saying that, you know, we need, if we do need to do this, we need to do it in a way that is actually logical and not reactionary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wonder what that perfect number would be, or do you support term limits for Supreme Court justices?
I don't. I think that what we see is, in the wisdom of the founders, is that making that, you know, up until, you know, basically the last, what, 25 years, the judiciary had been non-political and people trusted it. They entrusted the decisions. It's only really in the last 20 years that it's become highly politicized and people have lost faith in it. But having a lifetime appointment means that they are insulated from being fired for bad decisions and things like that. And that's what the founders wanted.
Okay, and so, all right, well, it's interesting. I guess we'll kind of see where this goes, and just based on what I kind of know of her record, she seems to be a little bit out there, in my opinion, but...
you know, I mean, the thing is that the real problem is she doesn't have a track record. She has no experience trying cases. She's never tried an actual case in a courtroom. She's never argued an appellate decision, argued in a case at the appellate level, and she's never argued a case before the Supreme Court. You know, it's all theoretical. And then she was put on the Court of Appeals and has written decisions that are very, very suspect from a precedent standpoint and from a standpoint of where civil rights should be and where civil liberty should be and things like that. So
Like, she was told what to write by, I'm sorry, what's the name of the society that chose her?
The Federalist Society?
Yeah, the Federalist Society told her.
You know, I can't speak to that, but we know that, you know, most of the people who are on the court, especially the ones that Trump and McConnell have put on the court, have gone through the Federalist Society system. And it's, you know, so a vetting process. So I don't even know that they need to tell any of these judges what to write. They were handpicked and chosen and put through the pipeline because they were already going to do it.
Right.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about your race a little bit here in Ohio. Let's get local here because Jim Jordan, I mean, this guy has been in the news a lot and not for anything good. He's linked to a sexual abuse scandal. And for some reason, that hasn't done much to damage his political career. Why do you think that?
The thing about the Ohio State scandal is it's very hard to, he was one coach who didn't help the wrestlers and players, young boys and young men who came to him and asked for help. The bigger problem is he was part of a system where none of them did. And there, I mean, this is a sexual abuser who had basically free reign of young boys and young men for 20 plus years. You know, Ohio State is having to pay out now tens of millions of dollars in compensation. But the fact that none of these, Jordan was an assistant wrestling coach, but none of these coaches will admit to wrongdoing. They will not say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And those are the things that should be said. You know, they're saying it's a lie. It's a lie that I knew. It's a lie. I mean, Jordan says it's a lie that I knew. Well, and if what you're saying is it's a lie, but it's true, then you're claiming that sexual assault survivors are liars because they're the ones claiming that they told you. It's a really big problem. It angers everyone in Ohio because there are college towns, you know, there's like Ann Arbor and there's Tuscaloosa and there's, you know, Gainesville. And there are college towns, but Ohio is different. Ohio is a college state. Everybody's Ohio State in Ohio.
Yeah.
And it's everyone wants their kid to go up and play for Ohio State, whatever sport it is.
Do you think?
Or the band. And the fact that they weren't safe there really, really does anger people, and I'm not sure that they know how the best way to deal with it and deal with the fact that this institution that they love so much betrayed these young boys.
Do you think it's angering enough people enough to make them react at the polls in your favor? Do you think people still remember this story?
It's hard for me. It's hard for me to look at it in a like politically expedient way, because I mean, these boys have been traumatized their whole life. Some have committed suicide. Some have turned to drugs and alcohol to deal with it. But they're every one of them have trauma. When I've talked about, you know, this is the situation, I've had people pull me aside and say, I was one of them, and people that I didn't have any idea that they would be involved in this. It, you know, it affects the rest of their lives. And so it's really hard for me to say, nearly impossible for me to say that I can look at it in any sort of political way.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's not political. It's a crime. And it is a unconscionable crime. And the fact that nobody helped these boys is unforgivable.
Absolutely. For him to turn his back on those boys is just despicable. And then to...
He did it, but everyone else did it too. And like, I'm not trying to minimize what he did, because what he did was absolutely wrong. There is nothing that he will ever do that will justify what he did. But there were all of them. Like, there were so many of them over 20 years. There are hundreds of boys.
He's a political leader figure in our country now. So,
he's got the president's ear.
Yeah.
He is, I don't know. And he's also one of these guys that has won in your district by large margins in the past. So people seem to like Jim Jordan.
You got to remember, a huge part of that is that it's so gerrymandered that this district was drawn to do exactly what it does. Elect Republicans. Like, that's why they did it. There's actual evidence from when they were cutting the lines in 2011 after the last census. John Boehner, who was from Cincinnati, was speaker at the time. And he very clearly and he very illegally said, I want 12 Republicans and four Democratic seats. He figured the minimum he could get away with. And he actually hated Jordan. So the story that I've always heard is that he tried, and Jordan will say this, he's heard the story too, that they tried to cut Jordan's district out, but they could never keep the 12 and 4 and get rid of Jordan at the same time. So they put him in a district where there's no media markets. It's all gerrymandered. It's not anywhere near each other. The most liberal city in Ohio is in it. It's, you know, this sort of district that is, you know, the duck.
How are you fighting this gerrymandering? Because that's a real issue here. I mean, what's your strategy?
You know, I think a lot of it is, you know, I try and maintain a really close contact with as many people in the district as possible. We have 14, at least parts of 14 counties. I try and go to the counties as much as possible. And a lot of that's been limited, obviously, by COVID. And, you know, because we take COVID seriously at our campaign. And that's kind of a big difference between me and Jordan. He doesn't take it seriously at all. But, you know, so one of the things is we've been able to do a lot of Zoom calls. And last year at this time, I would be having to choose which county to go to, but because all of the meetings are on Zoom, I can be in more places at more times. At the same time, I guess it is.
Have you ever thought of trying to recruit John Boehner to help you on your campaign?
John Boehner, I think, is probably focused on selling marijuana, legalizing marijuana across the country. That seems to be his whole focus, that and playing golf.
I don't know. He might help you.
You never know.
He's the guy. I mean, he's literally like the king of lobbying for the legalization of pot, which growing up in Ohio was not something I ever envisioned.
No, I mean, I always felt like he was a little more liberal than we all thought he was.
Either that or he really likes money and has discovered he likes pot. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Or you, what, Chris, go ahead.
I mean, it's a very weird combo, but here we are.
Has he taken to wearing sunglasses all the time?
Oh. Yeah, but he kind of did that before. And he's always been really, really tan, so it's hard to tell.
Is he using a lot of slang, like man and, you know, groovy, that sort of thing?
Maybe. I've never met the man, so I can only go by what I read and what people tell me.
You're in a very red district. Your district voted for President Trump in 2016 with 64%, right?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds right. So, when you're trying to talk to voters in this really red area of the country, how are you reaching to conservative voters and trying to get them to vote for you instead of Jim Jordan?
Well, I think that this is a very, very different race than 2016, because in 2016, Trump was an idea, and he was kind of this wish fulfillment idea that he could be anything. He was a businessman. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. He was going to drain the swamp. And now he's a real politician, and you can see what he's really done. You know, he's hurt our farmers in Ohio significantly because of his trade wars. He's, you know, gone after health care. You know, many of our counties are in the red zone and are, you know, and our cases are shooting up. And so it's not a theoretical thing of what would Trump be like. It's a real thing, and there are real consequences. And Joe Biden, you know, is from Pennsylvania, which is basically Ohio in a lot of sense. You know, he's much more of a Ohio sort of Midwestern politician because he's from Pennsylvania. So he has that sort of natural Midwestern friendliness, I guess, is what we always sort of deem it. But, you know, people are really, really inspired by Joe Biden. They're really excited to vote for him. We're seeing in our rural counties, the reddest of the red counties have some of the highest Democratic turnout in the state.
Wow.
So Trump's been leading in Ohio for a while now. How do you feel about
it depends upon the poll. And most of them have Biden leading by one or Trump leading by one. So it springs back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
Last one, I think, was Biden was up by two, I want to say. But, you know, we get a new poll basically every day. So it's a little hard to keep, you know, and because of the margins of error, they're basically all within the margin of error.
Right.
Right.
Well, speaking of people's backgrounds, so you grew up, you had a single mother raising you, living paycheck to paycheck. And how do you think this type of background suits you to represent your district better than, say, you coming from a privileged background, or like somebody like Donald Trump, who had a small loan of $500 million from his dad growing up?
Who among us didn't get a small loan from dad for, you know, half a bill?
Yeah.
I mean, who among us? I think that because I'm basically, you know, the same as everyone else in our district. We work hard, you know, working class. I've had, you know, multiple jobs. I know what it's like to be laid off. I know what it's like to have your business shut down or the job that you have shut down and all of those sorts of things. So I understand the struggles, and I understand what it's like not to have health insurance at times and to be terrified that you're going to fall down and break your ankle and not be able to afford the medical bills. Or, you know, now you're going to get COVID. I actually read an article, someone talking about how their brother-in-law spent 3 weeks on a ventilator and then died. And the guy was talking about his sister just got the bill with insurance. The bill's $1 million.
Wow.
You know, we are in bad shape. And the fact that Amy Coney Barrett is going to be the vote that's going to strip the ACA away is a terrifying prospect, because we now have almost 9 million people who have another pre-existing condition in addition to all the ones that they had before. Because everyone with COVID will now have a pre-existing condition.
Well, you want to fight to protect the ACA. And I mean, let's say we're able to hold on to that for a little bit while longer. The Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. was kind of designed by Obama to be a jumping off point. And he was hoping that we would continue to improve upon that. So how do you think we can keep building on that?
I think that Biden is absolutely correct that we need a public option for people who lose their jobs. And in that interim where they can't get another job, they have the ability to access health care. We need to ensure that our kids have health care, but we need to ensure that families having health care, access to actual affordable health care, is a really, really critical part of being able to have a job and have a family and be able to support your bills, yeah, be able to pay your bills and things like that. Because we know how medical bills can cause people to declare bankruptcy. And we've been through all of these cycles before. And going back is just going to make people's lives more difficult. It's not going to help anybody except for people who have stocks in private insurance companies.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Nothing about what the Republicans are doing will actually help people, and why the American people keep voting for those that are against their own best interest is just beyond me.
But to be fair, I mean, 3 million more people voted for Hillary. It's the, like, yeah, you know, the way that the Electoral College broke down was what did it. I mean, more people voted for Al Gore than voted for George Bush in 2000. I mean, that was decided by one vote on the Supreme Court. And now we have four members of the Supreme Court, all of whom worked for Bush. When they were arguing for the Supreme Court in Bush v. Gore.
Do you support abolishing the Electoral College or amending it in a major way?
We do need to amend it, because the fact that, you know, smaller states hold a significantly more power than do larger states. Now, I'm not saying that the smaller states should be, you know, they should have no say or anything like that, but we need to amend it so that it's actually fair, so that people actually get to, that their voices get heard. Because it's unsustainable when the person who the most people voted for doesn't win continues to happen again and again and again. Agreed. It's an unsustainable model.
Totally.
It favors the Republican Party, though, and they are the ones that are in power, so why would they want to change it?
Not for long.
Not for long, hopefully.
You know, I mean, in Ohio, I mean, our numbers are, I think it was as of Saturday morning, we'd already had 1.5 million votes. We've got, you know, we've got hundreds and hundreds of people every day voting in Ohio.
That's great.
We're blowing out numbers all across. I mean, literally in our red counties in my district, some of them are like, their total percentage of Democrats who've already voted is like in the high 80s with 8 days out.
Wow.
Do you suspect there will be a rush on Republican voters come election day?
Not wearing their masks on the polls.
But the thing is that the question is how many, I mean, with all of the COVID that's spreading around, I hope that people take the precaution to vote safely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, thankfully, you know, as Democrats, we were like, okay, get your ballots early. Make sure that, you know, this is going to be bad. We're going to hit that period of time where we're going to go back into COVID, because that's just how viruses work. And it's going to, you know, it's going to slam into the flu, and we're not going to be ready for it. So make sure you're ready to vote. And people are, you know, like, I got my ballot early. I got my ballot, I think, 2 days after, with the second day back. They put it in the mail on the day that they were supposed to. I got it 2 days later, filled it out, and put it back in the Dropbox.
How do we get you the endorsement of Joe Biden? Should we send him a tweet? What should we do?
You know, I mean, I think that I'm working really hard to make sure that Joe gets elected, but I'm working really hard to make sure every Democrat gets elected. You know, I work really closely with a lot of our state rep candidates who are all phenomenal. You know, I'm making sure that our judges get known. And so I'm really, like, I'm in a really, really blessed position, because unlike most candidates, I don't have to explain why Jim Jordan's terrible. I just have to say I'm running against Jim Jordan and people understand why he's terrible. So I get that time.
Have you?
No, it's just true. I mean, I get that time to help other candidates.
Have you
and
heard
that's from, really, really, that's a gift that I've been given in this race, that I can help other people get their message out too.
That's great. Yeah, that's absolutely. Have you heard from Rosie O'Donnell? Because I know that Rosie O'Donnell is a big critic of Jim Jordan.
I feel like she's retweeted me and things like that, but I don't know. Like, I've never actually spoken to her.
Well, I know that you haven't gotten the official endorsement from Joe Biden, but what we can do is play this.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
That's unofficial.
Unofficial.
So there you go. Well, good luck to you. We'll be watching you on election night. How are you going to spend election night? We'll be live covering it.
I am We are doing a very small, just staff only party in a big hotel conference room so that we can be socially distant, but we can actually still sort of be together.
Okay.
But it's literally just staff.
Are you going, what I think election night is going to be is either tears of joy or tears of sorrow for pretty much everybody in this country. So,
I will say this. I know that I will have left everything on the field to elect Joe Biden, to elect me, to elect all of our other candidates. So, and I believe Joe Biden will win Ohio. I believe that will be the end of the election. I believe Joe Biden will be elected. I believe Kamala Harris will be the VP. I absolutely believe that. I believe that our slate of Democratic candidates is phenomenal. And so I can't see there being tears of sorrow, even if I weren't to prevail. I would still be so thrilled that we've made so much positive change, and we're going to make so many people's lives better.
Well, thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you. We appreciate you putting your life out there on the line to fight for this. And
Thank you.
We sure hope you beat Jim Jordan, because we don't want him to win.
Yeah, so. Get rid of him. Shannon Freshour is running for Congress in Ohio's 4th. And
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you spending the time with us. And good luck. We'll be rooting for you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay.
There we go. One of the big races as our election coverage heats up. Actually, it's like what? The election is next week. I'm not even sure.
Creeping on it.
We have one more guest running for office, what? And then it is election day. We have two back-to-back shows.
Oh boy, I didn't sign up for that.
Ooh. Jason's Off already having wings. A panic attack. Jason might have to say, instead of three words, six.
Sorry, I had a work thing pop up. That's my bad.
Oh, no, it's all good.
Pooping.
It's all good. We'll be right back.
I was pooping.
Okay, we're back, and we are leaving. Thanks for joining us on It's News to Us.
And we're out.
And hi, bye.
I hate when shows do that.
But just to remind you,
we come back from commercial break, like, oh, have a good night.
It is an asshole thing to do.
We make you wait through commercials so we can just wave goodbye.
Are you Rachel Maddow right now?
Yes.
Right after these words, some very exciting scrolling text credits you don't want to miss. Who was the executive producer? Who was the gaffer? Find out. But a reminder that we're going to be live on election night a week from, like, just in a week, we'll say in a week. So get your election coverage here on AW Radio. It's going to be a crazy night, and you're going to want to be with some friends.
You're going to have so much fun with us.
Yeah. Jason,
make it fun.
Katie, Chris, any final words from you guys?
We're the funnest.
Vote? No, question mark. Vote.
Vote. Yes. Vote.
Vote exclamation point.
This next week's going to be the longest 6 months of our lives.
Just fucking vote.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
What?
Did we go off?
No, what? We're still on for a second. What's up?
Oh, I was going to say, cross your fingers for a safe transition of power in the months ahead.
Quick, yeah.
Yeah. All right. You nailed it, Jason. Beautiful guitar solo.
Appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
Good job. Tim Apple.